Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. We glorify you, Lord, tonight. God, we pray that we are able, Lord, to bring forth thy word. And Lord, that all that are here, Lord, might be able to, Lord, receive something from it, Lord. And may grow farther in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I see two people. I was just joking. All right. You know, I was thinking about what I was going to teach on tonight and or preach or whatever comes out of it. And I was thinking about how faith is today. And either maybe the lack thereof or faith. You know, now, faith is something that we're a people of faith. We get up every day and we operate by faith. Amen. If a man didn't have faith or confidence in himself at all, he could hardly get out of bed. And when our faith is high and our confidence is high, we go out in the world and we do pretty good. Because we have confidence in what we're doing and we have confidence in ourselves. We have faith in ourselves. Amen. The Wright brothers, if they didn't have faith, the first airplane wouldn't have got off the ground. If Henry Ford didn't have faith, amen, that he could build some automobiles that the common man could buy, amen, we might all still be riding around in horse and buggy. But he had faith. And you know, it doesn't work any different than that with God. We got to have the same kind of faith in God. Amen, except we got to go just one extreme higher. Amen, we got to leave the senses of this man and go into the third eye, they call it the faith sometimes, and reach out to the things of God. And we find in the Bible where people have faith, and a lot of times their faith in the world left them away from the faith that they had in God. But God, this Bible says that it's impossible to please God without faith. We can't please him. And you go out to get a job. If you don't have a little bit of faith and confidence in yourself, they can't use you either. But we've got to have faith in God. If we don't have faith, you don't get to first base. And a lot of times people and throughout the Bible has let their way of thinking move them out of the faith of God, because the faith of God is right here. It's the Word of God. Amen. You can't find faith anywhere else except right here. Amen. People try to explain faith, especially spiritual faith. That's pretty hard to do. I can tell you how you can have faith to do the things in this world, but it's harder to tell you to have the faith to do the things in God. Except we go by the Word of God. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But we're going to go to our lesson today. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. I wasn't going to put this one out there first, but I am now, because some things are foolishness to people, especially of the world, that is foolishness to them because they can't understand it. And the first thing you've got to have is faith in God, because to understand the things of God, he's going to have to give it to you. Because we have enough faith to be saved. The Bible says to every man is given a measure of faith. So we all have a measure of faith. We have enough faith that we can come to God and be saved. Now that's the faith that kicks you off. And that's the faith that we need in God before we can even come to God. But some people call that foolishness. Amen. They call it foolishness. Why? Because they can't understand it. But if we're looking for something we can understand, you don't need to be looking to God, because you're never going to understand God, not to his fullness. But we go with what we have here. God gave us his word, and this is what we go by. But 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. Amen. Now, in the lesson that I picked today, there's a place in 2 Kings 13, chapter 13. And it shows how that we can come short of the things of God. Let's turn to 2 Kings 13. We're going to begin with verse 10. In the 37th year of the reign of Joash over Judah, Jehoash, king became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 16 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not turn away from all the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had caused Israel to commit. But he walked in them. Now, I know everybody's heard it. You've heard it one time, a dozen times. We go all the way back. They talk about how way back, my great, 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 great granddaddy, he did it this way. And everything was done this. How can all of those people be wrong? Have you ever heard that when it comes to the Trinity doctrine? And Jesus' name baptism? They say, how can that many people be wrong? Well, Joash, he's the 12th king of Israel. And the Bible said he did evil inside the Lord and did not turn away from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had caused Israel to commit. Now, Jeroboam, he was the first king of Israel. And what did he do? He left from Jerusalem because of a problem that he had with the king there. They had a disagreement, Judah and Benjamin of the tribes of Judah there that was in Jerusalem, and the 10 tribes of Israel. They had a disagreement on the burden that they would put upon Israel. So their agreement didn't come to a close. So they left and went out, the 10 tribes of Israel, and went out on their own. Now, just like a lot of things are today, Jeroboam, he got this jealousy rise up in his heart, and he says, now, back then you had to go to Jerusalem to worship. That's where God said to worship. He said, now if I let them go back to Jerusalem to worship, they'll serve David. So here his imagination goes to work. He said, this is what I'll do. He said, I'll tell them, you know, that's too hard for you to go all the way back there. We'll build our own place of worship. But God never said they could have another place of worship. He said, I'll give two calves here at Bethel and two calves and Dan, golden calves, and you go there to worship. Now that was the sins of Jeroboam. And now Jehoash, he is the 12th king of Israel, and they still haven't corrected that. If you will look in the Bible, every time you see about the kings of Israel, just every one of them, he'll say they did evil in the sight of God because they did not leave the sins of Jeroboam. Isn't it something how man will get in tradition and they won't leave from it? 12 kings, this is the 12th one. And not only they did not get it here, all the way through before God brought down and destroyed Israel and scattered them, they still didn't correct that. And to this day, I don't guess they corrected that. Men think they're smarter than God. They can figure things out for themselves. But you know, when I came to God, I was a beaten down man. I was down so bad that I had been drinking for 7 years just about every day. And I come to the place that I knew there was only one answer for me. I got so caught up in it, I shook my fist at God one time. I said, if there's a God up there, how come he let me go through all this? And I was the man doing that. But sometimes you got to reach bottom to look up. And there's a lot of things that goes on in this testament here of God, and some things we don't seem to understand. But there's one thing about man. He won't change his ways very easily. Amen. You've got the Trinitarian doctrine. You've got the oneness. You've got three gods. You've got baptism wrong and all of these things. And it just seems like it's another type of the Old Testament, doesn't it? They started out wrong and they will not turn from it. Now, what happened here with Israel, they started worshiping God somewhere else. You know what they would say about that today? What's the big deal? They would say, what's the big deal? After all, we all serve the same God. This even got that far away from things. Amen. We serve one God, the God of the Bible. And it's his way. It's not our way. It never can be. The Bible says we must walk in spirit and in truth. The faith of Israel was lacking because of their disobedience to God. It's like this. when I started my walk with God, I started out not knowing anything. I didn't know a thing. And the first thing I heard, I went to a Trinitarian church, and I did what they taught, because I didn't know anything else. I had a portion of faith. I had enough to be saved. I had that. But I didn't know anything else, because it wasn't given to me. It was given right here. So I did what I was taught. I repented. I got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And then I began to worship three gods. I went where I was told to worship. And I imagine a lot of those Israelites back then, that's all they knew too. They went where they was told to worship. And they get the kings in these in the Old Testament, they get by with quite a bit. Why? Because it was for the sake of the children of Israel. And for their sake, because of the promise that God gave Abraham, and Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. His promises, he goes back to that sometime, because of the promise that I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the reason it goes on, and God is a God that he don't give up on us. He didn't give up on the children of Israel. He sent them prophets, did he not? He sent them, Israel, one of the best prophets that was in the Bible, Elijah. And Elijah, they got the best prophets. Why? Because they needed them. But still, man will not turn from their way. It's just in man, I guess, to be that way. I don't know. I don't have any other name for it. But John 4:24 says we must walk in spirit and in truth. Now, that was a small thing for them. What's a big deal? Why do they have to go to Jerusalem to worship? Jeroboam told him, he said, that's too hard on you guys. He said, I'm going to make it easier for you. He said, I'm going to set you up something right here, and we'll make it real easy. Man might think that way, but God don't. They was commanded to go to Jerusalem to worship. And because of that, God called everything they did their beginning evil. Everything that the kings did, he called evil. Because they didn't go back away from the sins of Jeroboam. All right, now you come to the New Testament here today, and they decide that they don't need to baptize in Jesus' name anymore. They decide that we're going to have three gods instead of one God. And they decide whatever you will to do with the Holy Ghost, whatever you want to do with it. And they call that not a big deal. That a big deal. Amen. Because everybody after that that's doing that, they do evil in the sight of God, because they did not leave the sins of wherever that was brought in at. They went ahead and walked in it. And I walked in what I knew. That's all I knew to walk in. But the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Even now you seek, what's righteousness? That's being right with God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But that's, how did it get this way then? How did we have this church, that church, and that church, and that church, and that church, and but you know they had the same thing back in Israel. They had this king, that king, and this king, and that king, and this king. They all did not leave the sins of Jeroboam. And God started every one of their chapters, every one of the king's chapters like that. He said they did evil in the sight of the Lord in that they did not leave, amen, the sins of Jeroboam. God told them leave, and they told God no. And that's the way it is today. Today, you can do anything you want to. You can sin any sin you want to. You can do anything you want to. Because who says you can't? You can have your own faith. You can have your own belief. You can have your any way you see things. You can have it that way. And now things they begin to call good evil and evil good. It's become so bad. Romans 10:17. I think that says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I think that's what that says. But anyway, we know that's in the Word of God, if I got that wrong or not. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And there's another place in the Bible that says, "Examine yourselves to see if we even be of the faith." What do you examine yourself with? You just look at the mirror and that ignorant guy looking back at you that don't know any more than you do? No, you got to examine yourself with the Word of God. And what the Word of God says, that's what we do. Amen. But Jehoash, he wanted things his way. But he came out to this, I like this story because it shows where we come up short. When Elijah had fallen sick, this verse 14, 2 Kings 13 and 14, is that right? Yes, okay. When Elijah had fallen sick with the illness from which he would die, Jehoash, king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and saying, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. What he's telling him there, he says, oh, you're our horses, you're our chariots, you're our power, is what he's telling them. Amen. We all like to these things, these earthy things. We all like for God to do the earthy things for us. Why? Because we're not seeing with spiritual eyes, we're seeing with a natural man. And we want earthy things. And when we begin, and most of the time, and I've been guilty, and everybody have, when we begin to walk with God, we are receiving the milk of the Word, and we're just babes, and you know how a baby will do. They're always whining for what they want. They're very selfish. Why? Because God made them that way. Amen. To survive. But we need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to grow. We don't need to remain babes. That's what Paul said to some of them. He said, I still have to give you milk of the Word, and by this time, you should be receiving meat. So God wants us to grow. God wants us to. But today, all you got to do, just believe. You don't have no quarrel with the Muslims. Oh, we all serve the same God. They serve God their way. I serve God my way. You don't have any problem with this or that or the Hindu or anything. They do it their way. I do it my way. But there's no word. There's no place. Bible like we got right here. It's got all the proof. You can take history and track it all down, and you can find it to be the truth. And it's perfect in His Word. Amen. It's all of God. And it's all of God that we need. Many people, they begin to seek God and they say, well, here's what I want God to do for me. Lord, I want you to let me be this kind of leader or that kind of leader or this kind. And you know what? God says, okay, fine, that's what I want to do with you too, but you study in here, you got this whole book. The lawyer's got one thicker than that. He says, you got this book right here, you're learning this book, and then you'll know what I want you to do. But we don't want to do it that way. We want to come to God our way, and we want God to do it our way. 2 Kings, verse 15. Chapter 13, verse 15. He says, take a bow and some arrows. So he himself, he took a bow and he took some arrows. Was God testing his faith to see how many arrows he would take? I don't know, but God knows how many he had. Verse 16, and Elijah said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So the king put his hand on the bow. And Elijah said, put his hands on the king's hands. See, we want God to work with us. We just love for God to work with us in our flesh. But God has something that He, when He works with us in our flesh, it has a spiritual nature to it too, when God's doing it. So He put His hand upon His hands. In verse 17, He said, open the east window, said Elijah. So he opened it, and Elijah said, shoot. So he shot. Then Elijah declared this to the Lord. Then Elijah declare this is the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, for you shall strike the Arameans in Aphek until you have put an end to them. Now God just got done telling him that now he's gonna finish this thing complete. He's gonna have complete victory. You know, God tries to give us victory. He has given us victory. Amen. He's given us victory over death. Death, hell, and the grave. You know, we are dead men walking. Every one of us. We're dead men walking. But we have a way out. Verse 17, the Arameans and Aphek until you have put an end to them. Now, he's got the goods. He just told him to take his bow, and he told him to take his arrows. And he said, your arrow, this is the Lord's victory, is this arrow. So he gave him all that he needed for victory. Then Elijah said, take the arrows that he told him to get. He said, take them. Remember, they're the arrows of victory. He says, Elijah told him to take a bow and some arrows. So he took them, and Elijah said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck the ground three times and stayed. He stopped. You know, people want to go so far with God, but they come up short because God has so much more for them, but they go so far and they stay. But God gave them the goods. All they got to do is use them. Amen. But we got to look a little further than our flesh. Amen. Many times we try to walk with God in the flesh, and you'll fall over every time. But Israel's kings didn't take all God's word. They didn't, all the way back to the first king of Israel. They took the word that they wanted, or they put and mixed with it what they wanted to mix with it. And God always said, your start's evil. I don't care which king it was. If they didn't leave that, they started evil. They started evil. They started evil. Amen. And when you come to God, he said, and what they said in Acts 2 and 37, man and brethren, what shall we do? And we all know it. We all know that verse by heart. Peter said, repent, every one of you, be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is your first works. Amen. Israel did their first. They had a way that God told them to go, but they changed it, and their first works wasn't what God told them to do. So they come up short. Before a king could even get started, he already come up short. That's the reason I like the Apostolic Church. That reason it wasn't hard for them to witness to me, because they could take me to the Word of God and show me where God told me what to do. He said, this is your first works. Amen. If I didn't do my first works right, then what was I? I was doing evil inside of the Lord, and that I didn't leave the sins of those that left their first works. Amen. That's where it comes to. Amen. Elijah, and then verse 19. But the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have struck down Aram until you had put an end to it. But now you will strike down Aram three times. And if I read it further on down, you'll probably find where they got the best of them, because they come up short. Amen. You say, well, that's not fair. God didn't tell him to use all them arrows. He gave them to him. What do you expect that he wanted him to do with them? But he stayed after three arrows. And today they would say, well, that's stupid anyway. Why don't you shoot all them arrows into the ground for? Because God said to. Amen. A lot of things are physical to us, but things are spiritual to God. And he does them for spiritual for something to happen spiritually. He had a victory for this king, and this king came up short, and he didn't get his complete victory. Now, when I came out of the Trinity Church, I had the Trinity crowd that I knew, and they wanted to tell me that I was going into the wrong way. They didn't even know how they was testifying against the ones they was testifying against. They said, you know, they deny God, they're Jesus only. I thought, how can you be Jesus only? And then they went a few other ways, said, well, we get that when we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And it still didn't ring a bell. Then I said, well, what about, then we had this discussion about there being three gods. I wasn't in church very long. I went down home, and my dad was Trinity, and we got into that discussion, and I really didn't know what to say. But something came to me. I knew just enough knowledge that I could answer what he was talking about. He said, we got on the Trinity. I said, now you tell me there's three gods. He said, yes. I said, three distinct persons of the Godhead. I said, yes. I said, then how come it was the Holy Ghost that hovered over Mary and caused her to conceive? I said, wouldn't that make Jesus, the son of the Holy Ghost? And my dad, he never was much in the Bible. Whoever come to the door, if it was Church of Christ, well, he was Baptist, and if it was, you know, whatever was at the door, he was just the opposite. But then he said, I never expected this out of him. He said, well, I know there's two. All right, I got you down to one. Two now. We got one more to go. But you know, as I begin to learn of the Word of God, learn of the things of God, and I begin to see things in the Word of God, how come they don't see? And my first pastor, the Trinitarian pastor, when we talked, my brother Ira, he talked to him, and he said, I see it in the Bible, but until God tells me, I'm not going to do it. If you see it in the Bible, he's already told you. Amen, because this is the Word. This is our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And, you know, just because of those things, I said, you know what? I need to study and show myself approved as a workman unto God, being not ashamed. I said, I need to study that Word for myself. And I never did see any place else to go. Not for my salvation. I never saw anywhere else to go. What was it, Peter? So Jesus said, Peter, will you leave also? He said, where would I go? So I never seen any reason to leave the apostolic message. And I can't understand to this day when I read the Word of God how that they can take this Word and take and turn it around to suit themselves. Amen. But you can see in the Bible that all the way back to the very beginning that men had trouble with God over that. It might have not looked like a big thing to them, but it was a big thing with God. Because, see, God's perfect. He's not like we are. Amen. He has a perfect nature. Amen. When he does something, it's because it's the right way. And that's the only thing that we need to know, is that what he does is the right way. What else do we have? But all the way through the Old Testament, Israel never left the sins of Jeroboam. So why are we surprised today that all those people out there won't leave that Trinity doctrine? Why are we surprised? It's nothing new. The more things change, the more they remain the same. Amen. The church world today, they continue right on with this wrong doctrine that they have, and even you can show it to them, and either they'll say, well, it doesn't matter. Once we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, well, we get Jesus in there too. Well, what about three gods then? One man told me, Trinity told me, he said, It's a mystery. I said, not to me. It might be a mystery to you, but it ain't no mystery to me because I know there's one God. Amen. So you're the one that's in a mystery. But I know who God is, and I knew who he was when I came to him, and I knew who he is that he brought, where he brought me from and where he brought me to. But I'm not the only one that should get into this word and find out for yourself. Everybody's supposed to do that. Amen. This is the word of God. Amen. We're supposed to study this word of God. We're supposed to find out what it says, and then you can walk in truth. And until you know that, how can you walk in truth? Now, they can say all they want to. One guy said something like, you know, yeah, but you know, he said, you people fuss a lot. I said, you know why we fuss a lot? Because they rattle our chain about sin all the time. And I said, so that gets us frustrated. That's what I told him. He said, well, maybe. But the flesh is always rising up. The flesh will always rise up over the righteous things. That's the reason we have to bring the flesh under subjection to the Spirit of God. Amen. It's not always easy. I never did get anything good that was easy, except salvation, and people has made that hard. But God told us way back in the Old Testament there in the 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, it says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That's all God wants anybody to do. That's all he asks all the kings of Israel to do. Just turn from the sins of Jeroboam. Amen. Go and worship in Jerusalem. But Jeroboam, he was afraid that he was going to lose his crowd. And people today, I'll tell you what. If a man can't tell me the truth, don't tell me nothing at all. I want to hear the truth. Whether I like it or not, I want to hear the truth. Amen. If I'm wrong, and I've been approached to being wrong before, and I thank God for the people that has enough nerve to do it. Because we need people to help one another in this walk. And we need not to be offended at it either. Amen. If we're trying, all right, he comes to you with something, he talks to you, and you prove him wrong, well, guess what? You still got it right. But we need to understand those things. I mean, I can't come to you because you don't wear the same color shirt that I wear. Well, I'm talking about the things of God that we're responsible to each other for. The Bible tells us to fail not to assemble ourselves together, and even more so when we see that day approaching. Why? Because we need to help each other. I've learned all of those things the hard way too. I found out that gossip is probably one of the biggest sins in the church. I found out that the hard way. I found out that every time somebody tells me something, or every time I hear a preacher preach, it doesn't mean everything he says is right. A man I was with once, we were working together, and he said something about in the Bible, and I said, where'd you get that from? Oh, I heard a preacher preach that one time. Well, maybe he was wrong. I don't judge people by every word they say, except when it comes to the things of salvation. After that, we're a work in progress. Amen. Tell my wife all the time, I'm probably the only perfect man she knows. She knows me very well, and she knows I'm not. But you know, you can be in the truth and still be wrong in your action, in your ways. And that's why we come to church. That's why we learn in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to correct our faults of the things that maybe they're not necessarily going to take you to hell, but they could. Maybe there's warning, say, hey, you're walking down a wrong road. You don't want to go down that road. A man man older might say, I've been down that road. I can tell you what's down it. So we have to help each other. And I even checked the Amish people out. I want to find out what's right. Well, you know, they got us beat hand over fist for holiness. Amen. But the Bible says God saw their zeal, but not according to knowledge. I don't go any further when I look to see their what they say about the oneness of the Godhead in Jesus' name, baptism, infilling of the Holy Ghost, and they're Trinitarian. So I close that book because they start out wrong. What did God say about the children, the kings of Israel? Called them all evil because they wouldn't leave the sins of Jeroboam. But God loves us, and God has sent messengers. He sent messengers to them. He sent messengers to Judah, the ones that was in, they were starting out right, but even they didn't end up right. Amen, because they wouldn't repent when they did wrong. And they began to take the temple of God and abuse it. They begin to carry anything in there. They begin to bring offerings. Amen. They would bring their worst that they had instead of the best that they had. So we have a responsibility, not just because we have to get our first works right, but we have a duty after that too. And the world today is trying to tear that down. Amen. And I'm going to see if I got it over here. I'm fixing to quit because it's time to. The Bible said, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. And that's in, is that Romans? Romans 11. Behold, therefore, the goodness, 11 and 22, Romans 11 and 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, on them which fell severity, but toward the goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. Now, I know it's really comforting to believe that once saved, always saved. You can just lean back and relax. But I tell you what, I find nothing in this Bible tells me to beware. The Bible tells me to fear. And I know I'll never, this flesh, this old body of mine, I know it's going to return to the dust. But there was some in the Bible thought if they sinned, that grace might abound. Paul said, God forbid that any should sin. If you study into that, you can find a lot about that too. And I tell you right now, when I come to God, I was the least worthy person that I knew to be saved. I didn't bring nothing to the altar worth having. I didn't bring anything. I felt as low as a snake. Amen. And I came to God and asked God to forgive me. I asked him, forgive me that I'm a sinner. Now, I didn't know the big sin, the little sin and all that. I just knew that I was a sinner. And you know what? God honored that. Amen. He honored that because I have a measure of faith. And I brought that measure of faith to God. He had to honor it. But that's all I had to bring him, a measure of faith. I hope I helped some today, but you know, All I can say is everybody has to do what I've done, what you have to do, what I probably have to do, what you do, you have to do what I do. We let each other know, you know, to help each other out. But the end right here, if you're not reading and if you're not studying, chances are you're lacking faith. Because here's where you get it. A lot of people say, I sure would like to know how to get faith. Well, read the Bible. No, I was talking about something else. Anything else but that. But that's where you get it. Without that, you have no faith. Because how can you have faith? Would you have faith in a stranger? No, you wouldn't have faith in a stranger because you don't know anything about him. So how can you have faith in something you don't know anything about? Faith comes by hearing. Amen. You've got to hear it. You've got to, and thank God for other people. I'm where I am today. For other people. I didn't do this by myself. I was taken by the hand for a good while. Not every hand that took me was, I felt, was a right one, but then you have to go ahead and rightly divide the word of God, and you're still responsible for yourself. So if you don't want to get into the word of God, you don't have to. But I tell you right now, this is what God wants us to do. You want faith? Right here it is. And when you get done with all this, then you could go ask God for more. Well, I think we got a job ahead of us right here. Everybody says, well, I just ain't got nothing to do. I just wish God would give me something. He gave you a whole book here. And a book that nobody can prove anything wrong about. There's not another book out there. Well, Lord bless you. I guess we just all stand. We'll be dismissed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for the message, Lord, that I was able, Lord, to give out today. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's helped me, Lord, to along this way. Lord, I pray that I can be a help to some. Lord, some that might just need a little encouragement to go on a little further, to get into this book, because it's not a day thing, it's not a month thing, it's not a year thing, it's a lifetime thing. We're a process in the makings. And God, I pray that I help someone today, Lord, that they might get into your word and, Lord, and learn this word for themselves. In Jesus' name, amen.